Well, Heraclitus was a Greek philosopher about 500 years before Christ. And Heraclitus is known for saying, "Nothing endures but change. Nothing endures but change." That same sentiment is very popular in Eastern mysticism as well. The Buddha, one of the Buddha's most profound sayings was, "Nothing is permanent. Nothing is permanent." Everything seems to be changing. I've heard it said, change is the only constant. Change. Look at the many ways that, I was going to say our culture has changed, but first I'm going to say, look at the many ways our building is changing. Every Sunday morning, you know, I'm here throughout the week, so I see this stuff as it's happening, but every Sunday morning, people walk into church like this. Something's changed since last Sunday. Lots of things have changed. Luke Spencer this morning said, "Man, we should like play a game. You know, you come in on Sunday morning, you get to try and find the five things that have changed since last Sunday." Our church body is changing, isn't it? Visitors coming and some people moving on. It's change. It seems like everything around us has changed. Our culture especially. Drastic change. Look at technology. It's going to change while I'm speaking about it. Technology is changing at such a rapid rate, and it impacts our lives immensely. When I was a kid, I liked a comic strip character named Dick Tracy. I know over half of you probably have no idea who Dick Tracy is. And it was when I was very young, and he was old even then, okay? But Dick Tracy was a police detective. He always wore yellow. And one of the things that I loved about Dick Tracy was his cool gadgets that he had. And one that I liked the best was his two-way wrist radio. He had a two-way wrist radio. By the way, those did not exist in the 1950s when Dick Tracy was conceived, in the 1970s when I was reading Dick Tracy in the paper. But he had this two-way wrist radio, and I remember as a kid thinking, man, how cool would it be to have a telephone on your wrist? You would never be out of touch. Back then, you had to go into a house or a payphone or a building to borrow a phone. How cool would it be to have a phone on your wrist? I remember this as a kid, a young kid, thinking it would be crazy. People would have their own phone numbers. It wouldn't be like, what's the Willis House's phone number? It's like each person would have their own phone number. Now I have an iPhone that does a million things that I never even dreamed of as a kid 35 years ago. It's not on my wrist, but it's on my waist. It's right there with us. How has that changed everything? By the way, the iPhone does all these cool things, and it's a great telephone, too. It places and receives calls. That's pretty amazing. Our culture changes over time. Something else that changes, this is going to hurt for a lot of us, our bodies change over time. I know, Ronnie. I remember thinking when I was in my 20s and early 30s, you hear about these professional athletes who decide to retire, and they're like 38 years old. And I remember, why in the world are they retiring? They're in their 30s. They should play for another 10 or 20 years. They're making all that money. Why in the world will they retire? Then I kind of entered into that age group and said, ooh, can't get out of bed in the morning without some aches and pains. I can't do what I used to do. Our bodies change. This will be a fun one for many of you. Who remembers who this guy is? Not a lot of hands. Jack LaLanne was this guy's name, all right? In the 1950s, he was like just the specimen of physical fitness and health. He was known for his amazing feats of strength. Jack LaLanne, a few examples. 1959, by the way, he was 45 when he did this. A little bit younger than me. He did 1,000 jumping jacks and 1,000 chin-ups in an hour and 21 minutes to promote the nationwide release of the Jack LaLanne show. 1,000 of each of those in an hour and 21 minutes. His swimming feats are among the most amazing. If you want to Google this guy, it's crazy the stuff that he did swimming. One of them in 1980, he was 66, but Jack LaLanne was amazing, all right? He swam North Miami, Florida, towing 10 boats. And those boats had 77 total people in them. And he swam and towed them a mile in less than an hour. Jack LaLanne. Incredible. I won't even talk about the juice commercials, but just, come on, incredible. Jack LaLanne. But even Jack LaLanne eventually changed. Even Jack LaLanne eventually became an old man. And he died just last year in his 90s. Our bodies change. Young people, you're seeing all the good changes. Some of us, not so good. One might think we can turn to our planet, Earth, right, for some stability in a sea of change. The Earth isn't changing, or is it? Scientists say, oh, the Earth is going to be around for a few billion more years, so we're good for a long time. But our resources are running out. Oil is going to run out in the lifetimes of some of the people that are in here. We're just going to have to learn to deal with that. That's not being replaced. More frighteningly, water and food are going into shortages, not necessarily in our country, but there are already shortages in other parts of the world. And they say water will be the next oil because it's improperly managed, because of population growth, because of our changing earth. Did I mention the changes in weather? Just over 2 months ago, freak tornadoes coming through and changing people's lives. And just last Wednesday evening, Mark and Jennifer Yarbrough, along with a lot of other people, were caught in a freak hailstorm in Dallas. Tennis ball-sized hailstones coming down mangled their cars. Fortunately, they weren't hurt. Change in our world is happening continually. How about the sun? We can count on the sun forever, right? Source of energy. Now, it'll eventually run out of hydrogen, according to scientists. About 5 billion years, and as it's growing into a red giant, it'll probably consume the earth then. So, change. Change. So does everything change? It seems to. It seems Heraclitus and Buddha and all those people that talk about change, it seems they're right. Everything changes. But wait a minute. Does God change? Does God, the creator of this universe in which there is so much change, does he change? Does the God that we have talked about these last few weeks of being independent and Trinity, and does he change? Well, what if he did change? What if we woke up one morning and it was dark because God decided to switch off the sun? What if we got special revelation from God that said, okay, in your Bibles, these portions no longer apply? Or what if we all just started floating because God decided to repeal the law of gravity? He created it. He could. Does God change in his nature? No. God does not change. We change. The world we live in changes. The very universe changes. But God does not change. Listen to the way A.W. Tozer puts it. In God, no change is possible. In men, change is impossible to escape. Neither the man is fixed nor his world, and he and it are in constant flux. Constant flux. Does that describe your lives? It does mine. We have an enduring, unchanging God. But what does that mean to us? Specifically, how do we respond to an unchanging God? If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 102. Psalm 102. We'll be looking at verses 23 through 27. Interestingly, this psalm was written centuries before Christ, possibly about the same time as Heraclitus, the Greek philosopher I talked about. The psalmist who wrote this psalm wrestled with change in his life. Yet at the same time he was wrestling with change in his life, he declared our unchanging God. I'm going to read now verses 23 through 27. Please follow along with me or just listen. The psalmist from 102. In the course of my life, he broke my strength. He cut short my days. So I said, "Do not take me away, O my God, in the midst of my days. Your years go on through all generations. In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like clothing, you will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end." Today is Father's Day. Like many of you, I'm thinking about my dad today. I've met a lot of your dads, and we have a lot of dads and sons and grandsons here in the church. I thought today I might introduce you to my dad. When I was a little kid, I thought my dad was the biggest, strongest, smartest man in the world. That's me and my dad a long time ago. There was no question in my mind, my dad was special. The fact that he didn't make much money, or he had a very unglamorous job as a furniture recoverer. We lived in some pretty dilapidated old rental houses way out in the country in Tennessee. That didn't faze my view of my dad. My dad was special. He was incredible. I loved my dad dearly. It seemed he never changed. He always had his hair oiled and slicked back, black hair, big long sideburns, and a big thick black mustache. My dad loved to tell these fantastic stories of the past, and he convinced us they were true. I've grown to understand they probably weren't. He always wore black clothes like Johnny Cash. He always had a hearing aid, all the years I remember him, with a wire that went down into his shirt pocket. He smoked 2 packs of cigarettes a day. He had big, strong hands with thick fingers. I remember my dad's hands so well. He always drove the car. My mother never even had her driver's license. My dad was my hero. And even when I'd grown up, and even when I was slightly taller than he was, I still looked up to him. He was my hero. He was my dad. He was eccentric. He didn't show much affection, but he was still my dad. Only he was changing. I grew up and went away into the military, and I would only come home once or twice a year to visit. When I would come home, the changes were painfully obvious to me. My dad began drinking more. He became less inclined to leave the house. His thoughts were confused. Conversations with my dad became very difficult. He became paranoid. Short-term memory was gone, and all of his memory was slipping away. He would pace around the house back and forth endlessly until he was ready to practically collapse. My mother became his full-time caregiver. And in 1997, at the age of 60, my dad was diagnosed with an unspecified DAT, a dementia of the Alzheimer's type. Because my mother's own failing health we had to put him into a care facility that specialized in that, and he declined quickly. He died in March of 1998, just over 14 years ago. 14 years since my dad was alive for Father's Day. He was just 61 years old. What do we do? What do we do in situations like that? Like the psalmist, we cry out. In the course of my life, he broke my strength. He cut short my days. So I said, do not take me away, oh my God, in the midst of my days. How do we respond to an unchanging God when we face change in our lives like this? We cry out to him. Like the psalmist, we cry out to God. We acknowledge that God is in control of everything, yet we are afflicted, yet our loved ones are changing. We cry out to him. When those we love are suffering in front of us from a disease, from cancer, we cry out to God, an unchanging God. When someone near to us is taken away by a tragic accident, we lose someone way too early in their lives, like the psalmist, we cry out to him. It's okay to do that. The psalmist did it. We can do it. Our lives are changing. Our very bodies are changing. But eventually, they'll all fail. Some may live to a ripe old age. Last week, I had lunch with Randall Smith, and he was telling me his dad is 99 years old. He also told me that his heart's breaking as he watches his dad's health decline, just like mine did. On this Father's Day, we honor the dads who are with us. Many Father's Day cards will be sent or have already been sent, and phone calls will be made, and I have lunches and dinners, and I look forward to precious time with my own family. But many of us will remember our earthly fathers who are no longer with us. Many of us may have earthly fathers who changed horribly during our lives. Maybe they just disappeared. Maybe they were abusive. Something went wrong. Our earthly fathers change, but our heavenly Father is unchanging. Let's look again at the psalmist's words in the last line of verse 24. Your years go by or go on through all generations. He's quoting an address to God, and he's saying, your years go on through all generations. Humans come and go. Generations of humans come and go. But God, your years go on and on. Indefinitely. He goes on to say in verse 25, in the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. This is popular in the Psalms. This type of wording. To the psalmist over 2,000 years ago, no telescopes, no advanced science. These things are by far the most permanent things in their existence, the earth and the heavens. And in their beginnings, God was there. He laid the foundations. The heavens are the work of his hands. The earth and the heavens go back farther than the psalmist can imagine. We can imagine it now, but it's still a long way. But he is certain in his mind, regardless of how long ago it was, God was there. God was there. How do we respond to an unchanging God? Like the psalmist, we praise him. We praise him. We sing praises to him on Sunday mornings here at church. Our very lives should praise God. Like the psalmist, we praise him. We stand amazed at his timelessness. We cannot imagine a time when God did not exist. His years go on through all generations, and so we praise him. We marvel at the created universe around us. Steve mentioned in his sermon last week, the greatest minds in science continue to be dumbfounded by the beauty and the majesty and the complexity of the universe which God created. The heavens are the work of his hands. How do we respond to this unchanging, magnificent God? We cry out to him. We praise him. You know, just as we've contemplated the way everything changes, even the earth and the stars change, the psalmist did too. Look at verse 26. They, that is the earth and the heavens, will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them and they will be discarded. I brought something this morning from my closet. A garment. I've had this t-shirt probably about 10 years. And I even have a picture of me wearing it about 8 years ago. This was a flight suit t-shirt. We wear this under our flight suits. Had to be the squadron color when I was in the Navy. And I wore this many, many times. I've sweated in it. I've washed it and dried it, washed it and dried it over and over again. And it is worn. When it was new, crisp, bright blue with the white insignias on it, the seams were all tight. It wasn't faded or stretched. But it's just about worn out. My wife might say it's time to throw it out. How many guys have old worn t-shirts in their closets? I know. Can you picture it? A psalmist is saying that our God can wear out the heavens and the earth like we wear out a t-shirt. Like we wear out an old pair of shoes. God wears out the heavens and the earth. The difference is, well, we might wear out many garments in our lifetimes. We're also wearing out. You may have noticed in that picture I looked a little fresher than I do today, 8 years ago. We're wearing out much more slowly than our garments, but the heavens and the earth, which would seem to us to last millions of times longer than we or our garments would ever last, they're wearing out too. But God never wears out. He never changes. This reminds me of a sermon that was preached here last month at the end of our series on origins and destinies. We were at the end of Revelation, and we talked about the new heaven and the new earth. How someday God will discard the old heaven and the old earth. It will flee from his presence, and he will create a new heaven and a new earth. Even the earth and the heavens wear out, but God is unchanging. He'll never wear out. The psalmist seems to be proclaiming this as a way of finding stability in God's unchanging nature. So how do we respond to an unchanging God? We find stability in him. When we feel like our old bodies are wearing out, when we need a walker or a wheelchair to get around, we find stability in him. When we fear for the future of our world, our culture, our resources running out, the sun becoming a red giant, an asteroid hitting the earth. That's a fun one that they talk about. We find stability in him, an unchanging God. When our loved ones are reaching the ends of their lives, when our son dies of cancer, we find stability in an unchanging God. It seems to me that's what the psalmist was doing. He's finding stability in God. Let's look at verse 27. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. Interestingly, he says, you remain the same. And he just said that in verse 26, you remain. But in the Hebrew, behind these phrases, it says something totally different. Not totally different, but we do the best we can with English. But look at these two verses. In verse 26, he says, they will perish, but you remain. The Hebrew literally says, you endure, you stand, in verse 26. But then when he gets to verse 27, we say, but you remain the same. In Hebrew, he's saying, you are he. You are he. The psalmist knows God's nature is unchanging. You are he. You are the one that does not change. You remain the same. But it's part of God's very identity to the psalmist that he is unchanging. He remains the same. You are he. You are the one who does not change. Our God is unchanging. A few moments ago, I joked about what if God were changing. He might flick off the switch to the sun. He might revise the Bible. He might repeal the law of gravity. But seriously, what if he did change? What if God were changing in his nature? If God were changeable, he could no longer be considered many of the things which we consider him. If he were changeable, he would not be perfect. Being perfect implies being unchangeable. You have to remain perfect. If he were not perfect, he wouldn't be perfectly good or perfectly just or perfectly righteous or perfectly holy. If he were changeable, then these things wouldn't apply. He could be those things, just not always, because he's subject to change. Our God is unchangeable. Theologian A.W. Pink states it like this: God cannot change for the better, for he is perfect. And being perfect, he cannot change for the worse. Our God is perfect, and he is unchangeable. Some of the changes we experience are for the better. I realize that. But many make things worse in our lives. Many changes that we encounter, they make things more painful or more difficult. But in that pain, in that difficulty, we cry out to God. He's unchanging. We praise him. He's unchanging. We find our stability in him because he is unchanging. Many, if not all, of God's attributes hang on this. They hinge on his unchangeability. Theologian J. Gresham Machen sums it up this way. He uses the word infinite to represent God's unchanging nature. He is infinite in his wisdom. Therefore, he can never do anything that is unwise. He is infinite in his justice, therefore he can never do anything that is unjust. He is infinite in his goodness, therefore he can never do anything that is not good. He is infinite in his truth, therefore it is impossible that he should lie. Who is like our God? No one is like our God. No thing is like our God. He is unique, he is perfect, he is unchangeable. How do we respond to an unchanging God? When we embrace changes in our world like the psalmist, we cry out to him. We praise him. We find stability in him. Let's pray. Our Father God, thank you for your unchangeable nature. Thank you, Lord, that while everything changes in the universe you created, you remain unchangeable so that we can have that stability in you. We can praise you for your unchanging nature. We can cry out to you as we face change every day. Let your word in Psalm 102 be something that changes us so that we may better deal with the changes that we face every day in our lives. It's in the name of the Son and by the power of the Spirit we pray to you. Amen.